Welcome to the Perry Ritchie Group Podcast, bringing our communities the latest in wealth strategies, ideas, and updates on the capital market to keep you informed and confident. Listen in on conversations with our advisors and industry leaders around the country who are changing the landscape of their businesses. This is the Perry Ritchie Group Podcast.
Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, and this is the April edition of the Advisor Roundtable. My name is Andrew Boyles, and I'm excited to be your host for today with a light crew we got in the office this week with spring break. We've got Sean Perry and Brooke Cassidy. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Great this morning.
Happy to be here.
Few in number, but strong in information and excitement about this episode because it's the first in our new updated podcast studio. So as some of you may know, the last 3 or 4 months we've been undergoing some construction here with our office. And so this is our first episode back in our more permanent studio. So the quality of the last few episodes may have been down slightly based on our setup, but we're back. So Sean, do you want to talk a little bit more about the office?
Yeah, we're able to actually move around versus just holding a microphone really awkwardly steady as best as possible. Yeah, we finished the remodel. Baird's done an amazing job. They're actually here hanging artwork today. So if you hear hammering in the background, that's what that is. But we were able to expand to now just shy of 10,000 square feet. And we have the whole kind of one wing of the whole building that we're in and new technology and all the conference rooms and just the most up-to-date stuff possible. So it's great space. It's fun to be here. We've combined the two Baird offices in Bowling Green, and now we're all occupying one space, and makes us like a top 20 branch within the Baird system. So I think there's 170 to 180 offices around the country. So this will put us right at number 20, which I think for us and for clients gives us access to, we're going to be in the rotation when people are making visits. Bowling Green is now going to be a place that's like, oh, we need to be here. So as there's new initiatives and things rolling out to the firm, we're going to be hearing about them quicker and having better access to internal resources. So that's a positive for sure.
And just to clarify, nothing's changed with our team. So, the names and the faces you've been talking to in the past won't really change. Still your same advisor team, same service team here, just have some neighbors as well that are in the same space.
Yeah, and I think it seems like a change for us, but it's more normative for typical firms. I mean, it's probably, you go around the country, most offices, whether it's Baird or some other firm, have multiple teams inside the same branch. We've just been unusual for the last 10 years. We haven't had that. We've been in our own branch. So sharing resources, sharing overhead. But yeah, Andrew, like Andrew said, no client interactions, no overlap from a business standpoint.
So as we think about where we're at in the year, here at the beginning of April, we're just about 2 weeks away from the big tax day, April 15th. And I haven't even looked at the calendar. Does it actually fall?
It's actually on a Monday. In the week. Yeah,
actually
it's
on during a Monday. The week. Okay, yeah. So it is April 15th. It's not early or late.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people have probably at this point, hopefully either gotten their taxes done or gotten everything together to have them done. And we have some capabilities that, you know, I think we've mentioned here before, but we would like to re-highlight in terms of things that we can help with. So, Brooke, would you mind to talk a little bit about the tax planning software we have access to? And Brooke is what's known as an enrolled agent or an EA. So she has that designation and has served that role on our team in helping with more of the tax planning side of things. So would you mind to share a little bit about the capabilities we have there?
Absolutely. So whenever we think about financial planning, there is a tax aspect to nearly every strategy we're going to talk to a client about. So with this capability that we have in this resource, we are able to show what those tax implications would be for the strategies we're putting in place. So think about if we're talking to you about Roth conversions, if we're talking about qualified charitable distributions, we can truly show someone, you know, what that is going to do long term or in the present tax year for their financial picture. These are truly helpful. We've seen a lot of collaboration with CPAs and tax preparers because, again, we don't file the taxes, but we're able to provide more color from our side, from the financial planning side, on how this can truly change the dynamic in actually putting those financial planning strategies in place.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about the report is just visually how simple it is. And it's two or three pages, I think three pages at the most, depending on what all is included in your return. But I know you get a copy of your tax return and it's, you know, however many pages long, it's full of numbers. It's that old kind of black and white, you know, line item, but just visually it helps show where you're at in the brackets, show where, you know, what you're eligible for, not eligible for in terms of certain credits or deductions. So just the visual appeal. And as you said, Brooke, we're not preparing the taxes. Right. So we're not criticizing, or this is not to a play to try and get your tax return business. It's just simply to help us help you make better decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think once you maybe walk out of that CPA's office, it can kind of give you a question mark on where did these taxes actually come from? Like, why was this the amount I paid? And with those tax return reports, we're able to kind of, you know, connect the dots a little bit. That visually appealing report can absolutely help us show you where you're falling in those brackets. And then also allow us to help with, you know, the changes that'll come in 2026 with those tax brackets increasing at lower income levels and kind of just planning around that.
So, and you may mention this, so if somebody's interested in this service and having us run their tax, what all do we need? What is the process for that look like?
Yeah. So if you will reach out to us, we can have your tax return is what we need. We can receive that a few different ways, either dropping it by the office and we'll scan it in. You can send it to us via Baird Online with a document exchange, or have your CPA send it over to us if we have those authorizations in place.
Perfect.
I found that it's been really helpful for clients in like Andrew said, that it's simple. It also just helps people even with what their average rate is. People get confused about how the tax rates are graduated and that there is an average rate they're paying. And it also really helps with the IRMA brackets. So that's the income adjustment for Medicare. I don't know the exact acronym, but it helps people see where they're at in that IRMA bracket. And we've talked about that before in here, in the sense that maybe it's not as big of a deal for the people that it's impacting, but I think it visually is a big deal when they bump into a new bracket and all of a sudden Social Security goes up by 8%, but what they're getting goes down because they bumped into a bigger bracket from an IRMA standpoint.
And there's a 2-year lag on IRMA. So, you know, whenever you get your premiums, that's what your income was 2 years ago. And that's how they're dictating that. So that can really help us, you know, whenever we look into the future on what those premiums may be.
Brooke, you mentioned coming up in 2026 with the sunset of the current tax provisions and using this tax planning software to help think through, is there more immediate actions we should take now from a planning standpoint? As a part of some of those sunsets, there's some changes to some of the estate limits, what we call the lifetime exemption amount. And we also have some new software internally to help with estate planning. I know, Sean, you deal a lot with that for our clients. So I don't know who to pass it off to, but somebody want to talk about what we have access to with the vanilla?
Yeah. So I can talk to the technology if you want to talk to the estate planning piece. So the actual software allows us to take those estate planning documents that a client may have in place, if they have multiple trusts, a will, you know, those POA documents. And just like that tax planning resource allows us to just simplify those into a concise report, that vanilla software is doing the same thing. So,
and just to clarify, vanilla is the name of it. I know that's an interesting, we threw that out there, but vanilla is like the ice cream flavor is the name of the software.
It is. Yeah. I'm not sure why they named it that. I don't know if anybody's told me. Maybe I should reach out and ask.
I think because cookies and cream didn't sound great.
Yeah, maybe. So whenever we receive those, we're able to provide a concise summary of what are the stipulations on those trusts. So if you were to state that your beneficiaries are receiving income at different ages or receiving certain principal amounts at certain ages, it's going to give us all of that in a really concise diagram and very easy language, so that just like we can boil down your tax return, we can boil down those estate planning documents, which may be harder to read. Mm-hmm.
And these are things that I think historically, especially old school advisors, just avoided, right? That was like, that's for your CPA, that's for your attorney, we're not getting involved in that. And historically, we've wanted to dig into that because we felt like those are situations where we really can add value. We have encouraged clients to work with attorneys that were also producing a flow chart. So that's what one of the things Vanilla is going to help with, is going to give you a flow chart of this is exactly how your estate documents are currently structured. And even if you, if your attorney that you've worked with hasn't provided any sort of flow chart, you know, that would be at a minimum something super helpful from here. One of the other things, especially for complex situations that I think is really helpful, is a sheet that just says fiduciaries. That's a mm-hmm. deliverable. And it says, here's your POA and here's who you've named as your first and second POA. Here's your executor and here's who your successor executor is. And on down the line, and if you've got multiple trusts, seeing who the trustees are of those just in one place. Because I think a lot of times attorneys can just give you a stack of documents that's 8 inches thick mm-hmm. and send you out the door. And there's a lot more to it than that. And I've just seen that happen and seen it played out. So we're just trying to help clients simplify, take something that's complex and make it as simple as possible.
Well, it helps continuity too, because, typically, you know, if we're talking about a married couple, both of those individuals are in that meeting. They probably know at a high level what's going on. One of them may be more involved than the other. I think that'd be a fair statement to say, is usually one's more engaged than the other. But, you know, ultimately when you're getting your estate planning done, if we're talking about a flow chart, that's something that's really helpful for the trustee or your executor to have as a roadmap without having to, you know, bring the attorney back in to necessarily just bring them up to speed. And it's just more efficient just to have some of that helpful color commentary. Yeah. Besides the documents.
We even had some clients recently that we did this for that was from a blended family. And I encouraged them to give this to their kids, give copies to their kids. So that way their children know we've already addressed this. We've done the hard work. This is a blended family, but we've made arrangements for that. And we've done the work up front that's going to make it easier for you when we're gone. So I think that's a real benefit too.
Yeah. Great, great tools for conversations with those folks while you're still living and can have that conversation for those that are interested in that.
Yeah. Along that same line, Andrew, Baird has something called a wealth strategy webinar on a monthly basis. And the one coming up this month on April 17th, it's called Passing the Torch. And it's about the potential changes we're going to see in the estate tax exemption amounts that are going to be lower effective the end of 2025. So currently people can pass north of $13 million each. And that number is going to get roughly cut in half if they don't make any changes. So it's talking through that, what type of clients from an asset standpoint are impacted. I think the people that have the potential to be impacted most are maybe business owners who haven't really thought through what the value of their business is. It's easy if you got an investment statement to know how much money you have. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a business and you're just in it and you're making money, you might not be thinking through what is the value of this. And if something happens to me, how's it going to be valued? Who's going to be putting a value on it? So that just good information that's coming through, and the firm's doing a good job of providing stuff like that for clients.
Yeah. Business owners and, large landowners or large illiquid assets that are hard to value. It's worth exploring that now, even if you may not be able to put a firm number on it. It's good to have those conversations. So when did you say that was?
April 17th.
April 17th.
And we should be including that probably in an advocate or connection that's going out.
I was going to say, I think it may have been in the one in March. I think we may have gotten a head start and sent that out. So if you're a client of ours and you get what we call the advocate, that's our monthly newsletter. So you should see the invitation for that in there. If you're not a client, a close friend of the firm, you may be getting something called the connection, which is a similar monthly newsletter that we've included it in that as well.
And along that same line, we've talked about this in the past, but if you're not a client, or if you are, I think I've engaged with clients that don't realize we're still taking new clients. And, you know, we are a growing practice. The average age of our clients is older, so we're engaging with younger people that are accumulating, and we are actively taking on new clients, and honestly feel like that what we're doing and the things we're producing, whether it's the podcast or these tax planning software, estate planning software, is a really unique offering and not something that a lot of teams are engaging on. So our door is always open for new people and to meet new people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, with that, let's turn to the markets a little bit. We save the best for last, right? What everybody may or may not be interested in most, but we had a really good start to 2024. Really the strongest start or the best start to a year going back 5 years to 2019. And so the S&P, which is the main index that we look at here, and we always joke internally about whether we look at percentages or points. And I'm an advocate for percentages. Sean?
I can't argue with you.
Okay. I didn't know if you were a points guy, like on the Dow Jones, and see how many points you're up today, or...
Still hanging on to, man, it was a 100-point day. It's a big day.
So, but the S&P for the year, for the quarter, finished up just over 10.5%. So, again, a really good start to the year. But I think one of the things we were talking about here before we got started is just the breadth of that participation in the market. Because often when we see strong returns like that, I think the general consensus is, oh, there's a name or two that may be pulling everybody else along with it. But we haven't really seen that to be the case here to start this year.
Fortunately, right.
Fortunately, right. And specifically, and this is not an endorsement by any means, but just a couple of things that may surprise you. Apple and Tesla, which are two of the bigger names as a part of that S&P index, actually were both down double digits in the first quarter. So Apple's down about 11% and Tesla was down about 30%. So again, this is not an endorsement or any specific commentary around that, but just to show you that even despite some big names maybe having bad quarters for whatever reason, and I actually couldn't tell you the reason for those returns in the first quarter, but the market is really broad in the sense of there's a lot of companies participating in the market movement.
And contrary to the fourth quarter of last year, which is where we saw a lot of those tech stocks, you know, really have a good run. And so now some of those are maybe trading those in a little bit.
Yeah, this is, it's funny you mentioned that, Brooke, about the tech. We get a morning email each morning that has some commentary and some tidbits from various experts from inside and outside the firm. And there was a line in yesterday morning talking about the first quarter that, and I'll repeat this, but it says in equal weighted terms, energy, industrials, financials, and materials. So those are all sectors in the market, actually outperformed tech in Q1. Mm-hmm. So when we think about drivers of the market, everybody usually thinks directly to technology, but what this is saying again, in equal weighted terms, energy, industrials, financials, materials. So other sectors that typically may not be those leaders actually did better in quarter one. As we think about where we're at too in the year, we talked about tax season, but sitting here at the beginning of April, it's also earnings season. And so we think about at the end of the day, what as investors, what you own, and you own companies, whether it's outright through stocks or inside mutual funds or ETFs, but at the end of the day, investors own companies, and those companies, as our as our founder Mike Jennings would say, you know, you look at the earnings of those companies. What are those companies producing? And so it's a big time of the year as we look at what those companies are doing. And there's an expectation that there's going to be some modest growth, a little over 3% of what those companies did in Q1 of this year compared to what they did in the first quarter of 2023. But at the end of the day, that's something that we focus on, because while there may be a news headline today or tomorrow, these companies, at the end of the day, what they're worth, what, you know, how they're valued goes back to what they're producing. And Sean, you had a great, hopefully you were able to join us for our event with Michael Antonelli a couple of weeks ago, but you got to listen to a talk Michael gave here at Western Kentucky University, and he spoke to that a little bit with company earnings and but through this concept of better, worse, same. Would you mind to share that?
Yeah, no, we also had Michael on a podcast, so he was our...
He had a big day.
He had a big day. We did a podcast, a client event at South Campus, and then went and talked to some students that afternoon. But while we were with the students, he gave his topic, his conversation with them was investing 101 real world edition. But he gave this analogy that, like Andrew was saying, long-term, the market responds to earnings. And that's what drives the market long-term. Short-term, he was saying for the students to imagine that there's an individual that has three buttons to choose. And I think that individual would represent all individuals investing. But the buttons are better, worse, same. And he went back to March of 20, which is, it's hard to believe that that was a little over 4 years ago now that we experienced that 5 month or, you know, that 5 week pull down. But he said, imagine that someone had these three buttons and the news comes out and it says people are starting to get sick in China. And he says, well, people get sick in China a lot. And we don't hear about it all the time, but there has been things historically that's happened. So someone hits the button that says same. And then a week or two later, it's people are getting sick in other parts of the country. Maybe it's still same. People are now getting sick in Italy and Italy's shutting down. Worse. It's spread to the U.S. Worse, worse. People are getting sick in Seattle and dying. Worse, worse, worse. The NBA cancels its season. Worse, 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 worse. And this is corresponding to the short-term reactions in what's going on at the market. But he said, then all of a sudden, we reach a point where the news is, the same number of people died today as yesterday. And then you hit the same button. So you're not hitting the worst button anymore. You're hitting the same. And then a few days later, less people died today than yesterday, better. And then the better button just keeps getting hit. And people are responding to that emotionally in the sense of, like we were talking about before the podcast started, it's not that things were great. It was just that things were better. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a great analogy on these short-term sort of market scenarios. And even as you're talking about what the market's done this quarter, I keep thinking about client conversations where the market's down and clients are like, should we sell? The market's down. But they're also like, man, we've had a great quarter. Should we sell? And mm-hmm. I jokingly say, well, when should we hold? Mm-hmm. If we're selling when the market's off.
Let's buy.
Much less buy, right? When should we just hold what we have? And I think that's the thing is we want to make this so short term, but it's such a long term patient game.
Mm-hmm. It is. And even, it feels a little odd. I know that it's more typical in our industry to talk about, quarterly returns, but, four quarters in a year, right? This is one of four. And going back to COVID, you think about all the quarters that we've had since that, and it's easy to get fixated on what's happened, over a month or a 3 month period. But I think especially in maybe zooming back a little bit over the last couple of years, where 2022, don't have to bring it up every time, but it was difficult for investors. And, there's probably a few of them that said, why am I even doing this? And it's because of months and quarters like we've had that are just on the other side of the horizon. If we can exert a little bit of patience there.
And like that chart we look at often with clients, the majority of the return is made up in just a few days,
very
just
short, period of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about time in the market versus trying to time the market. Well, we've beat on the election quite a bit, the first three episodes, so we won't touch on that this time. We've still got plenty of time to go before we hit November, but we did want to just give you an update, again, on the markets, around some of the capabilities that we have with these new softwares, both tax planning and estate planning. And then just to recap as well, again, there's a webinar on April 17th called Passing the Torch, to discuss some of those estate planning and those transfer techniques, capabilities that we have here. So guys, anything else that we haven't talked about that we should?
I don't think so. I think just as a reminder, we've got a lot of resources to help clients and prospective clients with. We want to be a resource. We want to answer questions. We love digging into these things. And Brooke's been such an amazing addition to our team. Not only is, only is she an enrolled agent, but she's also a CFP and a CPWA, teaches financial planning courses at Texas Tech. So we believe we have the best of the best here, and we want to be a resource.
And we love to research.
We love to research.
Or I should speak for myself.
I was gonna say,
I love to ask Brooke questions like, what do you think about this? And then just walk away.
There's an internal last thing, and then I'll get us off here. There's an internal personality tests, maybe not the best descriptor, but it's along those lines on kind of your working strengths. Like when you're in the workplace, what are you like, what do you lean towards? What do you navigate towards? And so, but the outcomes are represented by colors. So there's blue, yellow, green, and red. So blue is the research driven, very analytical. Give me all the details, I think, is one of the taglines. So Brooke and myself and Josh and maybe a few others on the team, we say we have that blue energy because we're just constantly digging into the details. Yeah. Sean is a red, which is more kind of vision focused.
Yeah, the little tagline on our bricks for red says, be bright, be brief, be bright, be gone.
Cracks me up. I'm always like, how quickly can I say this to Sean?
Yeah, I have some trouble with that sometimes.
And I'm constantly thinking, I need to slow down and listen. So I'm trying to help that as much as I can.
Yeah. It just brings an awareness to everybody around what our tendencies are.
But on that wheel, I tend to lean, well, I'm more towards the purple side. So I do tend to lean towards the blue.
Yeah. So we appreciate you listening here for the month of April, and look forward to having you back in May. Thank you, everybody.
This podcast is intended for information and educational purposes only. It is not an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any security or instrument, or to participate in any particular trading strategy. The information is considered to be from reliable resources, but its accuracy is not guaranteed. The opinions expressed are those of the show's host and guest and are not necessarily those of Robert W. Baird & Company, Inc. Baird does not offer tax or legal advice. Securities and investment advisory services are offered by Robert W. Baird & Company, Inc., a registered broker, dealer, and investment advisor member, FINRA and SIPC. Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated.